The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Esan
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama calls for international collaboration to curb corruption. Energy expert says government needs $4 billion injected in ECG operations to bridge power distribution. Women groups charged to make proper use of Maslock support to enhance economic activities. And Western delegation to Ugandan President Museveni's inauguration walk out in protest against his unsavory remarks. The news in detail. The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, has presented a petition to the President in connection with unpaid salaries of workers of West Africa Mills Company Limited for the past 28 months. The petition, which was presented by the General Secretary of the ICU, Solomon Kote, through the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations, asked government to, as a matter of urgency, take action on the workers' grievances, or else the ICU, in solidarity with WAMCO workers, will go on a nationwide strike. Rita Nyakong reports.
This was the atmosphere at the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations. Over 500 members of the ICU from the cocoa sector across the country gathered at the forecourt of the ministry, holding placards with inscriptions like "Pay WAMCO Workers," "Mr. President, Sack Dr. Opuni and Save Cocoa Board," "Our Wives Are Divorcing Us," "Union Busting at Cocoa Board," among others. The ICU General Secretary, Solomon Kote, said the union has made several attempts to get the issue of WAMCO resolved, but alleged that Cocoa Board has not been cooperating with the union over the issue. He noted that currently there's a massive deterioration of assets and property at WAMCO and called on government to act as quickly as possible to save the company.
This office have made several attempts to get the issues of WAMCO resolved. We just don't understand why one personality who continue to frustrate the process in getting this matter resolved. For 28 solid months, the workers of WAMCO have been in the house without any salary and without any income, simply because a joint venture agreement that has been signed virtually has been abrogated by both the majority and the minority. It is an issue of public liquidation or private liquidation. Should it take over 28 months to get it resolved, this office has made attempts to invite the chief executive of Cocoa Board, who is a major stakeholder in having this issue resolved. With impunity, he has not given credence and respect to a cabinet minister and will not attend any of these meetings that are being called. If government feels that it has no interest in WAMCO, we are saying WAMCO can be managed by Ghanaians. It is about time for the president to act. Failure to act, we as workers, we shall advise ourselves and we shall declare a nationwide strike in our strength as a national union ICU.
A worker at WAMCO shares his frustration.
WAMCO is company with government holding 40% and then a German holding the 50%. For the past 3 years, we have been in the house. The reason being that we don't have cocoa beans to process. But prior to that, this same shareholder was owning Cocoa Board some amount. Cocoa Board said unless they pay up that amount, they were not going to supply them with beans. So he was importing cocoa beans from Cote d'Ivoire. Unfortunately, the beans from Cote d'Ivoire is not like that of Ghana, and they were having some problems. And since then, he closed the factory down and asked the workers to go home. We are calling on the government to advise Dr. Opuni, as he did earlier, to at least give them something to live on. We are pleading that the government come to the aid of WAMCO. We are suffering. We are dying.
The Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Baba Jamal, who received the petition, said WAMCO is a viable asset which can be returned to its former status. He said the ministry has taken note of the petition and assured the ICU that the matter will be given the attention it deserves as soon as possible.
I can assure you that this matter is going to be given all the attention that it deserves. You have comported yourself and acted well over these 28 months. There's a proverb in our language that your teacher will I can assure you that this your issue is not something we are going to sleep on.
He also promised that the ministry will engage with Cocoa Board to ensure that the issue is resolved immediately.
Rita Nyakon reporting.
President John Mahama says he has never accepted a bribe, adding that anybody would have encountered corruption in one way or the other, but what is important is the raw power to resist it. Speaking to the BBC on the sidelines of the UK Prime Minister's Anti-Corruption Summit in London, he said the fight against corruption is a difficult task which needs partnership to tackle. President Mahama said his approach to tackling the fight against corruption has been phenomenal compared to the past, where people were asked to bring evidence before allegations of corruption are investigated. He said he has ensured that all allegations of corruption are quickly investigated and the perpetrators brought to book. On the issue of contracts awarded, President Mahama said the circumstances of how sole sourcing is applied is being reviewed. He said he has directed that every contract that is sole sourced is subjected to value for money.
It lands at the rice project at Dawenya. Fulani herdsmen with about 1,000 heads of cattle are destroying the rice, which is currently at the developing stage. According to the Director of Project Development at the GIA, Stephen McLean, the authorities' desire to create another dam for the rice project has become a mirage due to the challenge. He said failure to stop the encroachment will have dire consequences for Ghana's rice industry. Here's a report by Irab Napaha.
The Dawenya irrigation system was developed by the Defunct State Farms Corporation in 1959 with the objective of growing vegetables for the then Accra metropolitan area. It has a total irrigation area of 450 acres. The site has lands for the production of local perfume rice, a greenhouse technology project which currently produces flowers for export, and aquaculture projects. The GIA hosts an earth dam which pumps water into canals to feed the fields. A visit by Radio Ghana to the site showed that even though there were some writings on structures warning encroaches, more construction was ongoing by estate developers. According to the Director of Project Development at the GIA, Engineer Stephen McLean, the authority has done what it could to salvage their lands, but they were unsuccessful, hence the distress call to government.
On our site at the Dawenya Irrigation Scheme, we have massive encroachment from individuals and then from private developers. Now we don't know where they acquire the land from. Over 5 years now, it's a gradual process. See one person, then a second person comes, a third person, and the number is uncontrollable. We got the military to support us, ward off the encroaches, by something that we couldn't sustain because we have to buy fuel, lunch and a whole lot of things. We are a surrendered organization, so we cannot sustain that. Now we got the district assembly, that's the Ningo Pampan people, but still we couldn't solve the problem. See, something which is above us. We want to develop a greenhouse estate there, but because of the encroachment, we cannot construct the dam.
The scheme manager at the irrigation site, Benedictus Agbeku, said previous efforts by the authority in collaboration with the Pampan district assembly with support from the military yielded a little result until the military suspended their operations.
If you talk of irrigation, there should be land and there should be water. There cannot be land, and if there's no water, you cannot be able to do any irrigation. From the Sales Barrier to Central University, they have encroached upon all the buildings there.
The portion of the land bordering the Central University College was the most affected by the activities of the encroaches.
Rabna Paha reporting.
Government will in the next 10 years need $4 billion to invest in the operations of ECG. The amount is to make up for power distribution deficits. The head of policy unit at the African Center for Energy Policy, ACEF, Dr. Ishmael Akka, who made this known at a public forum in Kumasi, said all the electricity production is expensive across the globe. A number of operational inefficiencies become a drawback to the performance of the company. Some of these result in distribution losses as well as government's interference and indebtedness to the ECG. We bring you a report by Ashanti Regional Correspondent Kofi Sakwa.
In respect of this, Dr. Akak urged government under the Power Distribution Concession Agreement to quickly commit to the settlement of all debts owed the Electricity Company of Ghana. This, he noted, would enable the ECG to also pay off all debts owed the Volta River Authority, among other power producers, to help ensure the sustained generation, transmission, and distribution of power. Also, government must possibly implement policy to ensure that all of its ministries departments and agencies use prepaid electricity meters, while domestic and industrial power consumers across the country pay their bills regularly to provide the ECG with the required funds for its operation. The head of policy units at ACEP again called for the subsidized installation of solar power systems for households instead of the continuous subsidization for particularly lifeline power consumers by government. According to him, solar energy production in Ghana as compared to other sources in other countries would be practically less costly due to the availability of sunshine, which is always required for the efficient running of such a system. Dr. Aka also urged the Public Utilities and Regulatory Commission, PURC, to be firm, fair and independent in the discharge of its mandate, particularly during tariff reviews, taking into consideration the ability of the ordinary Ghanaian to pay for not only the usage of power, but all the other utilities. From Kumasi, reporting for Radio Ghana, I am Kofi Sakwa.
The Ashanti Regional Office of the Electoral Commission has handed over some people who were challenged in the limited voter registration in the Sokwa constituency in Kumasi to the police for further investigations. The suspects, said to be between the ages of 24 and 27, and their witnesses, are believed to have provided doubtful information to buttress their claims why they could not register in previous exercises. The EC was finding it difficult to reconcile the inconsistency in the information provided to justify why they were not captured in the earlier voter registration. Our Ashanti Regional Correspondent Thomas Nsueje reports.
A Deputy Ashanti Regional Director of the Commission, Lucas Yiel, who disclosed this in an interview, said the figure released to the public so far is provisional, as the office is still working hard to cross-check the figure with the Form A. Also, the figure is likely to change after the complaint committee has finished dealing with over 5,000 applicants who have been challenged for either being underage or their nationality. They maintained that the 188,646 qualified applicants released by the commission remains provisional. Achimango Gedep district registered the highest figure of 9,886, with Secretary Afram Plains recording the least number of 1,454. Obuasi registered the highest number of challenge applicants of 479, with the lowest number of 25 challenge applicants coming from Secretary Kumau. Mr. Lucas said the worst form of violence was reported at Kenton Colonel in the Polikrum constituency, where armed thugs numbering about four, riding on motorbikes, stormed the registration center, fired warning shots before smashing all the registration kits and the papers. Similar attack at GNRC saw the destruction of the biometric verification device and made away a laptop and an iPad phone belonging to the EC officials. The Lucas said the office is assessing the cost of damage caused during the attack, especially the school furniture being used during the exercise. He said the suspects arrested during the attack have all been granted police inquiry bail. From Kumasi, Thomas Nsueje reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama calls for international collaboration to curb corruption. Energy expert says government needs $4 billion injected in ECG operations to bridge power distribution. Women groups charged to make proper use of Maslok support to enhance economic activities. And Western delegation to Ugandan President Museveni's inauguration walk out in protest against his unsavory remarks.
The wife of the Vice President, Mrs. Matilda Inisa Arthur, has appealed to women groups in the general districts of the Western region to make proper use of funding support from the Microfinance and Small Loan Center, Maslok, to enable them to undertake and expand the economic activities. Mrs. Inisa Arthur gave the advice at an interaction with some beneficiaries in the general district when Maslok presented a check for 120,000 CDs to eight groups made up of 200 women in the district. She noted that the loan facility is a revolving fund, which is only given to traders as startup capital for their businesses and paid back for others to benefit. She denied claims that the facility is meant for only government sympathizers. The chief executive officer of Maslok, Mrs. Sedina Tamaklu-Atiyonu, asked the beneficiaries to put their loans to good use and pay back promptly to enable other people to have access to it. She said the ability to pay on time could allow them benefit from future opportunities. Mrs. Emisa Arthur also visited the Halfa Senior Government Hospital, where she donated medical equipment and educational materials to the hospital. They included field chairs, safety boxes, syringes, and walking racks.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Matilda Emisa Arthur has appealed to the people of the Western region not to allow politics to divide them as the general election approaches. She said people of the region must unite to ensure peace, unity, and accelerated socio-economic development. Mrs. Emisa Arthur said this when she donated for the second time medical equipment and educational materials to the Axim Government Hospital and selected schools in the Nzima East Municipality. This, she said, is part of her educational reform agenda by encouraging school children to read. The beneficiary schools were the Roman Catholic JHS in Axim, Manye Akanabi, Patton Roman Catholic JHS, and Jura Bansu, all in Nzima East Municipality. She appealed to the people of the region not to allow partisan politics to reduce their peaceful communal cohesion into hatred, acrimony, and conflicts. Mrs. Emisa Arthur commended the hospital management and staff for the good job they are doing and encouraged them to do more to ensure quality health care for the country. Medical officials expressed gratitude to Mrs. Emisa Arthur and pledged to do their best in providing good health services for the country.
Three members of the NPP have died in an accident while on a campaign tour of the Central Farm Plains district of the Ashanti region. The three include the constituency campaign manager, while the other two are believed to be students. One of the victims died shortly on arrival at the hospital, while the two died later on admission. The constituency secretary of the party, who confirmed the news to Radio Ghana in Kumasi, said the names and detailed information on the deceased will be made available later. The accident is said to have happened when the parliamentary candidate in the area, together with other campaign teams, were on a similar campaign mission to other parts of the constituency.
The National Malaria Control Program will, from the 16th to 20th of this month, register households within the Greater Accra region for distribution of long-lasting insecticide-treated nets. More than 2.6 million nets will be distributed within the five-day exercise. So far, eight regions have already benefited from the exercise. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, the Deputy Greater Accra Regional Minister, Ni Jangma Van Der Poy, so the house-to-house registration is aimed at getting more communities and individuals to possess insecticide-treated nets. A report by Antoinette Abba.
In 2012, there was a door-to-door distribution of long-lasting insecticide-treated nets in a bid to fight malaria. Since the treated nets have a lifespan of 3 years, the National Malaria Control Program is embarking on a point mass distribution campaign to register households and replace the expired nets. Eight regions have been covered. After Greater Accra, the team will move to the final region, which is Upper West. The Deputy Greater Accra Regional Minister, Ni Jangma Van Der Poy, said sleeping in treated nets is the surest way to prevent malaria. He therefore encouraged the public not to collect the nets for keeps, but rather cultivate the habit of sleeping under them.
You agree with me that the negative implications of malaria on the national economy cannot be overlooked. Malaria is one of the leading causes of death in our region and the country as a whole, particularly among children and pregnant mothers. Indeed, it is worrying the number of people battling with malaria and the huge amount of money being spent on prevention and treatment of the disease. I'd like to make a clarion call on all well-meaning citizens and stakeholders to support the Ghana Health Service and the National Malaria Control Program to ensure that the aspirations of the campaign come to fruition.
The Acting Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. John Yabani, said the treated net is one of the cardinal principles of controlling the vector-borne disease malaria. The use of the nets at night serves as a barrier between the human host and the mosquito. Dr. Yabani outlined the processes to be used for the registration and distribution of the nets.
The process for the point mass distribution campaign is that households will be registered by trained volunteers. Coupons will be issued to registered households. The coupons will be used to redeem the long-lasting insecticide treated nets at designated points, which will be communicated to households. The long-lasting insecticide treated nets are not for sale. They are free. And no registration, no long-lasting insecticide treated nets. All households will get involved and they will let prevention of malaria come to pass by sleeping under the long-lasting insecticide treated nets at night.
The nets will be distributed from the 4th to the 10th of July after the data of the registration has been collated. The recipients are to keep copies of the coupon and present it for the nets. The nets are not to be sold. Anyone caught selling the nets or extorting monies before registration of households will be prosecuted.
You heard Antoinette Abbas report.
The Ghana Journalists Association GJA says it will not extend the deadline for the receipt of entries for this year's awards. A statement signed by the General Secretary David Agbenu said all prospective entrants and members of the public who wish to submit nominations to the Awards Committee for the 2016 edition must submit their entries before Monday, 16th May 2016 at 5 p.m. The statement said the refusal to extend the deadline is to allow the Awards Committee have enough time to do its work in terms of selection of award winners. The 21st UJ Awards is slated for Saturday, 20th August 2016 at the Banquet Hall State House.
The rains yesterday have caused damage to the OPA MAJHS building in the West District. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Ghana Education Service Circuit Supervisor for SAPEMAN, Paul Kofi Yidu, said although there was no casualty, the windstorm ripped off the roof of a number of rooms. Mr. Yidu said the school's PTA has conducted assessment to evaluate the extent of damage and appealed to NADMO and others to come to their aid.
After the windstorm around 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., one of my school buildings was ripped off in the Opan school community. So I was calling and I went to the community. So two classroom blocks have been ripped off, the KG block and then the DHS, South Common Room, and then the headers of.
Were there any casualty?
There wasn't any casualty, but there was damage to textbooks and then furniture and then the roof as well.
Looking at the situation now, how bad is it?
It is bad because two KG classrooms have been ripped off, and then you know those are the danger age people between 4 and then 5 and a half. So they need their roof to be mended before they can access that classroom within this week or next week. With the DHS office and then the head teacher staff, the staff common room and then the head teacher office, the computers there are wet, and because there is light off, so we couldn't access the nature of the computers now. The people's SI books and then teachers notebooks and all those things are wet.
How are you going to manage the situation until you rectify the damage that has been caused?
The digital supervision is aware. So I'm here to get in touch with the NADMO so that if they can quickly salvage the situation before next week so that the teachers and the people can access the classroom, that will be fine with us. When the situation arose, I asked that the people go home so that when I get to the committee and I assess the school, we'll temporarily close down the school so that when we form the authorities that demand the situation, when they come next week, they'll be able to be over the weekend before we reopen next week.
The GES Circuit Supervisor for SAPEMAN in Gawest District, Paul Kofi Yidu.
Cross-examination of the suspended national chairman of the NPP, Paula Foko, in the seat challenging his suspension has been adjourned to the 17th of this month. Mr. Foko claims the suspension is unconstitutional and therefore sued the NPP and the Human Rights Court to annul the decision. Mr. Foko tendered in a document as part of his witness statement, which was challenged by counsel for the defendant, Godfred Odame. The said document contained minutes of a National Council meeting held on the 16th of July 2014. The validity of it was under contention. Mr. Odame Yeboah argued that the minutes were forged because there was no meeting on that date. Mr. Foko, however, explained that the finance and administrative director of the NPP secretariat wrote the minutes. He claimed that even as national chairman of the NPP, he was not privy to issues within the party. The presiding judge, Anthony Yeboah, cautions the parties to stick to the issues agreed on in the trial.
Reports from Uganda say Western delegations attending the inauguration of President Yoweri Museveni in Kampala walked out of the ceremony in protest when Mr. Museveni made disparaging comments about the International Criminal Court, ICC. U.S., European, and Canadian diplomats left abruptly after the president's comments. The U.S. State Department said they had also objected to the presence of Sudan's Omar al-Bashir at the ceremony. Mr. Bashir is wanted by the ICC on charges of genocide.
So Anthony, the main point again. President John Mahama says he has never accepted a bribe. Speaking to the BBC on the sidelines of the UK Prime Minister's anti-corruption summit in London, he said the fight against corruption is a difficult task which has to be tackled through partnership. The head of policy unit at the African Center for Energy Policy, ACEP, Dr. Ishmael Akka, says governments will in the next 10 years need $4 billion to invest in the operations of the Electricity Company of Ghana. The amount is to make up for power distribution deficits. Dr. Ishmael Akka made this known at a public forum in Kumasi. And Western delegations to the inauguration of President Yoweri Museveni in Uganda, Kampala, have walked out of the ceremony in protest against Mr. Museveni's disparaging comments about the International Criminal Court, ICC. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.